back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Stanford is going to introduce Frank Reich as their new football coach, their one-year football coach. This will happen tomorrow at a news conference. Here's Chip Patterson talking about it.
Let's look at who was just named the acting and interim coach for the Stanford Cardinal in the 2025 season. Former Indianapolis Colts head coach Frank Reich will be the acting coach. This is not a tryout. This is a we'll do 1 year and we'll see. The way that both parties are approaching this, Stanford and Frank Reich, is we are just doing this for the 2025 season, and a national search will be conducted to find out who will be the permanent replacement for 2026 and beyond.
Stanford in a tough position as it moved on from Troy Taylor after an investigation determined that he was an equal opportunity. Beep! John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, friend of this show, here to talk about it. What's your reaction to Frank Reich rejoining Andrew Luck?
Well, they had to find somebody, right? It didn't make a whole lot of sense to go out and try to cram in a search for a permanent coach during this window here, right before spring practice starts. So naming an acting coach for 2025 made the most sense. And, you know, you figured Luck was going to go with somebody he knew and trusted. So Frank Reich would have probably been on that short list, given that he doesn't have any opportunities in the NFL right now.
I am wondering if you think this is just a one-year thing and that really is it, or if Reich has a great season by Stanford standards, that could be, you know, six wins, you know, seven wins. Does Stanford reconsider?
It's hard to imagine that Frank Reich wants to coach college football in this environment. And to do it at Stanford, where you have a lot of challenges. I also have a hard time believing Stanford would want Frank Reich. Just, you know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Even if they say went 7-5 or something like that, I just, you know, too many obstacles, too tough a fit, frankly.
I am looking at the Andrew Luck involvement here as general manager at Stanford, Wilner. And Bernard Muir, the athletic director, pushed aside. What do you make of sort of the power and leadership dynamic right now inside the Stanford athletic department?
Well, Andrew Luck is the face of Stanford athletics right now, right? No AD. They just named an interim AD. It took them a month. And they had to fire their head coach while there was no AD. But Luck is in charge of the football program. He reports directly to the president. And he really, in that regard, is the most impactful, influential person there. I mean, the rest of the department can kind of run on its own for a while, but you have to have somebody overseeing football, and that person is Luck. So he's the guy.
I am left kind of looking at what Stanford's got to think about here. They're not only looking at we got to go out and find a coach, but they have to kind of figure out who they are, Wilner, and how serious they want to be, you know, recruiting, portal, NIL, revenue sharing, ACC schedule. What kinds of considerations do you think Stanford needs to make right now as they are going to hire a new coach after this one-year sort of experiment?
They have a lot of issues to address institutionally. You know, what transfer portal is just one, right? Can they only take kids from the Ivy League, or are they going to do that? Is it just graduate transfers or is it undergrads? Do you have to? Can you be a third or fourth year undergrad, or just a first or second year? And then there's the NIL component. And how much are they going to revenue share? They have more challenges than almost any program in the country institutionally. And you know that's going to be up to Luck and the president, who's been on the job since August, and also to the Board of Trustees to figure out what they want to be in this new era and how competitive, what are they willing to do to compete? That's the basic question for them. And I don't know the answer, but they got to figure it out. And other schools do too. Cal does to a certain extent. You know, Northwestern, Vanderbilt, those kind of schools, They got a lot of things they got to sort through.
You know how Stanford thinks, I think, better than anybody in the media. Give me an idea of where do they end up. Can they convince their admissions department to say, hey, look, let's lower the standard for football players coming through the portal so we don't have to be limited to Dartmouth and Colgate when we're recruiting? And or do they lean into the idea that, hey, we're going to be above the madness and the fray of football, and we're going to really lean into the Olympic sports as it pertains to, revenue sharing with athletes? Maybe they'll do it differently. What are they thinking?
It seems to me that the new president, who started in August and is an alum, cares about football and understands successful football can have a lot of benefits for the university as a whole. Stanford saw that firsthand when Luck was the quarterback, and they set records for admissions. Applications for admissions. So it seems to me like this president, unlike his predecessor, does care about sports. So my guess is that they're going to come out at the other end of this, not with an Alabama or Texas level of, or Clemson level of commitment, but with enough to compete to a respectable level, because they're alums. They got a lot of alums that give millions of dollars to that school, and those people care about football because that's what they talk about when they go to dinner with their friends from other schools. And if your football team is 1-11 or 3-9, it makes for a tough dinner table conversation for the millionaires.
I am left looking at 3-9. Safe to say David Shaw saw all of this coming, or what do you make of his departure just a couple of seasons ago?
Well, I think he saw it coming, but also was part of it coming, right? I mean, they deteriorated significantly in his last few years. 2020, they kind of pulled a miracle out during the COVID season. But you could tell 2019, 2021, 2022, he had kind of lost it. And I don't think all of that was because of what he saw coming. I think some of it's just, when you're really successful for a while, you end up kind of maybe losing the edge, so to speak. And so the deterioration definitely started before we got to NIL and the transfer portal. And those things have just accelerated Stanford's problems.
John Wilner, Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News with us. Stanford and Cal. I got asked this question in my Monday mailbag today, and I wonder what you would say to this. If you look at the next 5 years, more success potentially with Stanford and Cal on the football field and the basketball court, or more success maybe with Oregon State and Washington State on the football field and basketball court. Conference affiliation aside, success as a metric, the next 5 years, how do you see that equation?
I think you could make a case either way, because Stanford and Cal, their deal with the ACC is they only get 30% of the ACC's media revenue for 7 years. So they are not going to be that far ahead of Washington State and Oregon State in terms of resources. And then you add the competition in the ACC, the issues with travel, their issues with, the academic side. And I think, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Washington State and Oregon State ended up being a little bit more successful. Now, Cal Stanford probably playing tougher competition on the whole, but it is definitely, a viable topic for discussion, given that the Bay Area schools are at such a revenue disadvantage relative to the other teams in the ACC.
I am left looking at the NCAA tournament, and I want to get you on this as well, because we were talking earlier in the show about, the predictability of this tournament, the one seeds obviously dominating the Final Four, the very few at-large berths that went to mid-majors, and I think, you have pointed out, I think it's like 8 at-large berths that didn't go to the Power Four, and I think if you back out the Big East, it's just, a handful of schools that, is this too small a sample size, or are you concerned about the trend?
I'm concerned for sure, given the trend for the at-large selections and the portal and the NIL. I think it's getting much more challenging for the mid-majors. I don't think the sample size is too small to declare it conclusively that there's a problem, but it is headed in that direction. It's pretty easy to see. Yeah, I mean, the Big Ten and the SEC alone had 20 of the 37 at-large spots, right? So it's just those two conferences, and we've seen what happened once the tournament began, that the big schools have dominated.
I am fearful that NIL in the portal is going to also kill the mid-major. You already have better facilities, yep, more money for resources, coaching, equipment. You know, is there any chance that there is a cap that is honored here, or is this thing fully off the rails with NIL and revenue sharing on top of that?
You mean, is there any recourse for the mid-majors, you think?
Yeah, like, how do they stay competitive?
Well, some of them, I think, it kind of depends on what you call a mid-major, right? Because the Big East and Gonzaga, you know, schools that are really committed to basketball, in some ways they might have an advantage because they don't have to fund their football programs with revenue sharing. But if you're talking about, you know, you know, Mountain West schools, the Pac-2, they all have football. So they're going to have to make that decision on how much do you give your basketball program. Then you want, you know, Missouri Valley, those kind of schools, Atlantic 10 schools, I think they're going to be in a little bit of trouble. But if you're the Big East or Gonzaga, I think you've got a real chance to compete because, you know, you can put $7 or $8 million into your basketball roster. And the football schools can't do that. They got to only put $3 or $4 million in because they have to fund football.
Fascinating. And I think, you know, a lot of us, I think, still wondering what's going to happen. Do you have a pick in the Final Four? Do you have a team that you like to win it all?
My pick is Duke. I think they are the best team. And it looks like it's going to be a very competitive and up-in-the-air Final Four, and I just wonder if Duke is going to go to the next level. They got the best player. They got 3 lottery picks. Their efficiency metrics are off the charts. I think there's a good chance Duke wins both games by, you know, 6, 8, 10 points.
John Wilner with the San Jose Mercury News with us. All right, so Frank Reich is introduced formally tomorrow by Stanford. Questions that you have, what do you expect, Andrew Luck questions or Reich questions? What's on your mind as you head into tomorrow?
I guess I would like to hear how they're going to recruit for the next 6 to 9 months. I mean, ooh, to a certain extent, Stanford recruits itself, but what's Frank Reich going to say to recruits? What is Luck going to say? And I'm curious what Luck says about the institutional commitment to football and the decisions he's got to make with the president in terms of the transfer portal and NIL and that kind of stuff. I don't know that we're going to get many answers on those fronts, but certainly those to me are the pressing questions for Stanford long term, right? I mean, this upcoming season is going to be a struggle. Everybody knows that. But what are they going to do to get the ship turned for the long haul?
I just keep wondering, like, you know, what the downside was. They probably were thinking, hey, what's the worst that can happen? You know, you hire Frank Reich and you win 3 games. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's like, yep, upside, downside. They buy themselves some time, but you raise a great point about their inability to recruit. Stanford's a different place. Are they betting a little bit that kids are still going to want that Stanford education?
I think that's a big part of it. There is a certain segment of you know, 4 or 5-star kids that want the Stanford education and whose parents want the Stanford education. I mean, they were 1 in 10 and were able to recruit Toby Gerhardt and Richard Sherman, you know. So they can find a way to get some kids. It's going to be hard for them to get the depth that they need, but they'll be able to recruit enough, I think, to kind of keep things stable, at least through this, like, bridge period before they have a permanent head coach and a direction for the program.
Now, tell us, what are you doing outside? Because you're moving around outside. I got to know, are you running? Are you at a kid? You sporting event? What are you doing?
No, I'm stuck in a rainstorm. I was waiting for my son to show up so I could give him his baseball gear, and all of a sudden the heavens open.
Yeah. So are they practicing in the rain and all that?
No, it got canceled.
Okay. All right. What a good dad you are. Like every parent listening to this who's running around bringing a mouthpiece to a practice, bringing a glove to a practice, bringing a school book back to school, library book, you know, we all know your pain. John Wilner, thank you.
Yeah, yes. All right, thanks, my friend. I'll see you.
There he goes, from a local baseball diamond in the Bay Area. Stanford up against it, handing the reins to a former NFL coach for one season. And maybe the thinking is just that, that they go, look, you know, we could hire somebody and try to scramble around in the spring, but rather give ourselves a year, figure out who we are, how we sell ourselves to a coach. Because at Stanford, I think you really got to sell yourself to a prospective coach if you're getting any kind of commodity there. You know, it's not like they've had success. The bar is low. It's a 3-9 trend. And I think they only moved on Troy Taylor because the public found out about it, which is, you know, it kind of makes you feel like dirty about the whole thing. Leave it here. Some parting thoughts coming up.